It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And welcome to the WWGH Radio 2018 5th Annual Christmas Special Party. And if you have not, tuned in before, this is a very unique experience because what we do every year, after the first year we learned that the party was more entertaining than anything we put on the air, so we put the party on the air. So everybody who does a show here, it will be with us over the next 2 hours. We'll be live on the air over the next 2 hours, just taking a break at the 8 o'clock hour. And next hour, we've got live music from the Leshesky family, who have been our Christmas tradition now for 5 years. Be doing it for the 5th year this year. In studio, we will have people kind of filtering in and out over the next 2 hours. We have Sean Kraft, Charlie Evers, Glenn Coble, Brandy Downs, Patty Worcester, Terry Tackett, and... I'm going to turn on everybody's microphone. Who did I forget?
Linda Sims.
Linda Sims will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour to this group.
And my wife is here.
Your wife is here, Jeannie. Jeannie Evers is here. And
Patty has a friend.
Patty has a guest with her tonight.
I didn't mean that, but yeah.
No, I'm glad that everybody's brought a guest. And Santa Claus will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. So it's a big thing here right now on WWGH Radio. And a lot of our traditions we'll do tonight, one of which is Charlie Evers reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And tonight we are also going to invoke, somebody's going to read, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus," at some point during the night. We'll fit that in as the time permits. But Charlie, here we are. You have been with us since day one.
Is that right?
Day one, you showed up. You did.
Charlie has been with the Earth since day one.
Yeah. Charlie came in and said immediately, he said, "These cables are all twisted. I know this isn't commercial radio. Why are we here?" But 5 years later, Charlie, we've had our own Christmas memories now. Half a decade of doing Christmas shows.
I can't remember any of them.
I black them out. When they're over, I gotta black them out myself. But do you remember the year that we had Mr. Jingling, the Cleveland, Ohio Christmas tradition? Why he came to Marion, I'm not really sure, but he was here, and he's Santa's favorite elf, and he came in, and he did the Mr. Jingling song, and he made us all learn it, and we did it like 7 times. You remember that, don't you, Charlie?
I think so, yes. I can remember his keys jingling.
The keeper of the keys. Yeah. That's who he is, Mr. Jingling. Now, Sean, you had to go along. Mr. Jingling played the piano, and he would pull the piano over, and he would go through that song 42 times until everybody knew the lyrics.
Yes, and I kind of know the lyrics, but I...
You don't want to sing them?
No.
It has something to do with Hallie's. Hallie's seventh floor will be looking for you to turn the keys. Hallie's department store was a famous department store in the Cleveland area, which is what Mr. Jingling arose from, but he's still a Christmas tradition. He's running around up there with his keys.
That department store went the same direction as Lazarus.
Sears.
And, Hudson's in Detroit.
Big Bear.
Big Bear. Yeah. You know what my fondest memory of Mr. Jingling is? Because we've had the same tables for 5 years. And he brought real big keys. And they were real keys, yeah, metal keys. And he would drag them across the table. So that was always good for radio, when he would drag those keys across the table. God bless his heart. And he had a little thing with his eye. I don't know why. He had a, you know,
it's wherever called, you got a lazy myopia. Eye. Myopia.
It's called a no, lazy eye.
Wherever
right?
you were, he had his eye on you. No matter where you stood in the room, he was looking right at you.
I don't think that's politically correct.
No, but I think on a Christmas show, you can get away from it. You know, baby, it's cold outside, and what's the other this year? Rudolph's a bully, and Santa's a bully. So I think now we can talk about Mr. Jingling's lazy eye. I think all fair, you know, in love and Christmas.
Yeah. There used to be a musical group that played a lot in Marion called, I think, Myoptics or something like that.
Did they all wear glasses?
Well, you couldn't tell. Their eyes kept moving back and forth.
Oh. Well, see, Mr. Jingling's did. Well, one did, but the other one didn't.
Yeah.
It was like a 3D movie.
Oh, okay.
I just couldn't keep my eyes off of that guy. It was good, though. Glenn, it's a wonderful Christmas time. We're 7 days away from the Christmas holiday here. We're so glad to have you. This is our first encounter at Christmas time.
It is, and I really enjoy it. This is good so far.
Good so far.
Yeah.
By the end of the show, you will be filled with joy. You won't even know what to do.
No, you don't have any joy here.
No joy.
My wife is thankful for that. But
now, Glenn, your show, it just started a few weeks ago. It airs Monday morning, 11:10 to noon, so you want to catch that here on WWGH Radio. And the other night when we were out at Grant Middle School tossing fruitcakes, one of the replays was on, and one of the people who came to watch us throw fruitcakes said they were listening to Glenn's show, so I know there's positive feedback.
That was my mother.
Was that who that was?
Yeah.
By the way, how far can you toss a fruitcake? A Claxton brick fruitcake.
About 40 feet.
55.
Whoa!
Yeah, we got a 55-er the other night.
Who was
Wow.
he?
Wow.
Sean threw 55, and Ralph Sean. Thacker, who I know is out there listening, one of our devoted listeners. Hello, Ralph. Merry Christmas. he threw 155 feet, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Glenn...
Now it's a challenge. I'm going out this afternoon.
Well, you got to go in the Harding Cafetorium or the Grant Cafetorium and stand way down there and throw it.
Okay.
And the fruitcake didn't break.
Oh,
we
well.
Threw the same one 5 times and it never broke.
The same one?
I don't think they ever do break, do they?
No, the tile on the floor was all messed up when we were done, but the fruitcake was fully intact.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. So, Glenn, you haven't been here, but we hope to have many years with you. But
me too.
What about Christmas years past? What are some happy memories?
Well, you asked me, and I'll go back over what I told you when I came in. You really gave me a wonderful morning. Unfortunately, I had to. It was at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up and I thought, "Well, Scott's going to ask good things that happened around Christmas, so I better start thinking about it." But the most wonderful thing that happened about that was, for the next 3 hours, I thought about all the wonderful things that have happened to me, and I'm going to get really maudlin here. I was a Methodist minister's kid, and being a minister's kid, Christmas, from Thanksgiving through Christmas, everything is filled with bazaars, cakes, little old ladies that love you to death, people making ornaments, and the joy is just overflowing. And I had a brother and a sister and a mother and a father who loved me more than the world itself. And so I had a wonderful life. I mean, I still have a wonderful life. But I started thinking about all the different things. I remember my dad inviting a family to come stay with us on Christmas because they had no money. They had very little clothes and no place to stay on Christmas because their old broken down car had just gone to heck in a handbasket. And so they spent the night with us on Christmas Eve. And it was wonderful. And Dad and Mom was very involved in the Goodwill Auxiliary. And my dad, being a minister, had ways of getting money. And we actually got them back up on their feet and going. And that was a wonderful thing. And I remember that so happily now. I remember sitting on Santa Claus's lap at Sears and Roebuck, which I'm sad to say is going by the wayside now. I remember Christmas was just a wonderful time. We had most of the times I'm remembering, I lived in South Bend, Indiana. Dad was the Methodist minister at St. Paul's Methodist Church, which was built by Mr. Studebaker, the man that built the cars and prior to that built wagons. And Mr. Studebaker spent everything on building buildings for South Bend, Indiana. And the church we were in, it must have had a 40-foot stained glass window that was just absolutely gorgeous. And every room had stained glass windows that depicted a parable. And at Christmas time, our teachers would take us around to each room and explain all the parables that were in it. It had a baptismal font that was taken from the Byzantine era, and I can't remember what big building it was taken from, but it was just an absolute joy. And Christmas is always wonderful in South Bend because, well, I thought it was wonderful. I was a kid in school, and we'd have 20 inches of snow, lake effect snow off of Lake Michigan. And but, you know, I only remember one time that we actually closed school. Sometimes it was delayed, but not very often, most of the time. But I do remember one time when we had so much snow that we had to go into the garage and dig our way out of the garage. It was that high. But we had a wonderful Christmas time.
They're good memories.
Lovely.
Sean? And I want to make sure to do this before we get too far in, because I don't want to forget to do this, because we got a lot coming up in hour number two. Some people who have spent Christmases with us couldn't be here tonight. Marge Hazlett, but she will be back Friday. And Marge, we're thinking about you if you're out there listening. And a couple that spent three Christmases with us passed away this year, Paul Savage. And he was always very upbeat at Christmas. Mm-hmm. He loved Christmas. He wrote a Christmas CD. And I know his wife, Glenna, I think, is listening. I talked with her this week. So we remember him because Charlie, we had a lot of fun with Paul at Christmas.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Certainly did. Sean, you were here
absolutely.
With Paul.
Yes.
Good man. So we miss him, and we hope his wife is doing well out there. Hello, Glenna. Merry Christmas mm-hmm. to you. Now, to bring us all down is Brandy Downs, the first year. Because, no, she has a war against Christmas this year.
I do not. Scott is making this up.
Just go to her Facebook page. You'll see it. I don't have to. We don't have to provide any evidence.
I am in a beautiful Christmas
you
sweater.
You do? I didn't notice until you took your coat off.
Has
you do.
A unicorn
is
on
that
it
what that
with
is?
A Rudolph nose.
Why would a unicorn have a Rudolph
nose? Yeah, that's
nose?
Kind of a mixed metaphor.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I've got some really bad ideas on that, and I'm not going to say them over the air.
My husband also has a matching, not exactly matching, but also has a unicorn sweater for Christmas. My kids love unicorns, so we just decided to make them happy on Christmas and wear unicorn sweaters.
That must be something. At the grocery store, when you both walk in with unicorns on your sweaters, that's a wonderful thing.
Where in the world did you find it?
Meyer.
Oh.
And he's wrapped in electrical lighting cord.
Yes.
You know, if that was real, that would be, you know, they'd call the ASPCA. Because
sure
you can't wrap an animal in electrical
Well, it's a mythical
lights.
Animal, so I'm not sure
that's
they
true.
Have
unicorns aren't
over
real.
Mythical animals.
Now, reindeer are real, but
yes.
Unicorns are not.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandy, now...
Some nights they are. Usually on a Friday night late.
Late.
Yeah.
2 a.m., last
yeah.
call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandy, so what are... Do you have any pleasant memories? I guess we should start there of Christmases of yesteryear.
Tonight is
Christmas
her first.
Memories are not my best, to be honest with you. No, I have a lot of bad Christmas memories, but I do. My oldest two children are twins, and they were born November 14th, and, you know, their first Christmas was beautiful. We put them in little Christmas outfits and put them in a present under the tree and took pictures of them, and they were adorable. And, you know, that's kind of helped to erase the bad stuff. You have to, if you've had a bad childhood with lots of bad Christmases, right? You have to work to make your kids' Christmases the best ever.
So she wrapped the unicorn up in electrical stuff and then wrapped her kids together.
You understand?
My kids love this sweater.
Really?
Yes.
It's very red
it's
and green. I mean, that's good. But the unicorn
it's so
and,
Christmassy.
Well, I 50%.
What do you think, Sean? I'd like to see Santa try and bully this.
See, there you go. There you go with that bully. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, it's just unique.
Not the sweater. Do you have any Christmas memories?
Oh.
This is like a Joan Rivers thing. All this time. What do you think of the sweater? Charlie, what do you think?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, we'll take a look.
Oh, yeah. That's fine, yes.
Yes.
Ta-da!
Great.
There
yeah.
we go.
All right. Santa's
is
best
that
dress.
That's not a unicorn.
It
that's
is a unicorn with a sequin horn.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a reindeer with a horn.
No.
You would think it'd be a reindeer in a Christmas sweater, but yeah. Unicorn. Okay, Sean. Tell me about your Christmas memories.
I have a lot of plenty of them.
Do you have a good one?
You know, I can't remember. I mean, I was probably when I was like 10.
What about recent years?
Yeah, I think the older you get, I think this Christmas just goes away.
Now, it's been known that we have spent some Christmas Eves
yes.
together.
Yes, that's right.
You don't enjoy those times?
Yes, I do.
The truth okay. comes
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
No, I tell you, my house on Christmas Eve, we're just hopping.
Yeah,
hopping. Do we not have a good time?
We do.
We have a good time.
Music blaring.
Yeah, and Terry has been over at these Christmas Eve parties. And we'll get Terry in here at some point, and Patty, and your wife, Charlie. We'll get her on the air. Charlie, your Christmas memories. Now, those were in the World War II era.
And before.
And before. Yeah. Now, tell me some good Christmas memories.
I remember sitting on Santa Claus's lap at the J.C. Penney store in Bucyrus, and at that same time, my parents promised me a fire truck if I would get my tonsils out. So I still have the fire truck, don't have my tonsils. I can still
they
remember.
They didn't give them to you in the
no,
hospital?
No, but I remember what the ether smelled like.
Well, back then, they didn't use anesthetic. They used ether.
Ether. They put a wire mesh on your, and you had to breathe. Yeah.
Now, back in those days, I was just reading a book on medical technology of the World War II era. They also used leeches in those days. Yeah, yeah, I mean, the hospitals were.
My grandfather was a doctor.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis, the first coroner in Indianapolis, and he used leeches, and we have his leech kit.
Now, what would be in a leech kit?
Little. Like knives?
Spring-loaded?
No, they weren't. They were just like, I don't know, X-Acto knives. They're not really X-Acto
scalpels?
Knives. Yeah, like scalpels. Mm. And little cups to drain the blood into. Kind of nasty. Like.
Because leeches would suck the poison
yep.
out of your body. Now, why do leeches know where the poison is, or do they just suck all the blood
they
out?
They suck everything.
Suck everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I always wondered about that, because, you know, if you had, like, pus in your elbow, you know, the leeches would suck everything out.
Do you want me to go get some pizza for everybody while we're talking about
this? By the way, this special is supported by Domino's Pizza. Telephone number 740-383-3030. And they've been our supporter for these Christmas outings,
yeah.
I think, since day one. I think all
right
five specials.
Right across the street from us.
And they have delicious pizza.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
do have delicious pizza, and we can smell it. And like I say, a whole party is going on in the other room. We have other people involved. And in hour number two tonight, as I have said, Linda Sims, voice of a people on this station, she's been here since day one.
That's right.
Linda will join us. This is her fifth Christmas party with us, as will the Leshetsky family, which are a great family. Santa Claus will be here in hour number two. The sing-along will happen. There's a whole host of things happening in hour number two. But, Charlie, before we get too deep in, every year we've done this, it'll be the fifth time we've done it, you read the classic poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Is that right?
Yes. You think by now we would have taped it and just ran it.
Boy, that would have been good.
But no, we do it live. Oh, right.
You want me to do it now? Or later.
Would you like to do it later?
Well, yeah, so once
okay.
we get into the
we'll
suite,
go a little
yeah,
deeper.
Yeah.
Okay. So at this particular juncture, this is Christmas is a special time of year. And this year, it's kind of because we tape everything we do here at the station. So these specials are kind of a moment in time. If 100 years from now, people will be listening saying, what was that? And I believe we should talk about things that are of the day, like the song. I said it earlier on. I can't even think of it now. What is it? What's the song they tried to ban this year up
Baby
in Cleveland?
Maybe it's cold outside.
Maybe it's cold outside. Yeah. Now, do you think on the record, December 18th, 2018, that should be banned?
I don't think so. I mean,
I never
personally.
Looked at it, and the way they're looking. I just took for granted, you know, there's a couple together.
It does have provocative lyrics.
I never thought of sex being involved in that, like they claim.
I don't.
You know, there's a bunch of young
guys. Is that the ending?
Young guys at these FM stations that dream up things to do to attract attention.
I think the problem in that song is a few. I don't think it's that. Because a lot of songs are about love. I mean, there's a whole genre of love songs. The problem with that particular song, I believe, is some of the lyrics. Like, you know, because basically the whole song is she's trying to get away and leave the house.
She's not really trying.
Well, she keeps saying, I got to go home. I got to leave. I got to move. I got to, no, I can't stay. And at one point, he tries to give her some liquor. That's one of the lyrics. Yes. He says something. What does he say? What's the lyric?
I haven't listened to it.
If I was prepared, I'd have the lyrics.
Yeah.
But,
like,
you know, there's a lyric in there about I get you a drink or something like that. And I think that's what's caused all the furor.
Well, because all the stuff going on in the world.
Me Too thing. Yeah.
Well, and also Bill Cosby, didn't help.
I guess I'm something because I never thought of it in that way.
It's a good song.
I thought of Snow and the fact that she had to go, you know.
It's a very unique song in that when you hear it, it's a very good song. But if you would read the lyrics, they would be odd. It would be an odd. What is the drink line?
There's several, but I think the problematic one is when she says, say, what's in this drink?
Yeah, she says, what's in the
which
drink?
Which is, yeah. I mean, nobody, that's not what you want to be thinking if you're on a romantic
outing
with a man.
She says like 17 times, I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta go. And he keeps coming up with some kind of, you know, what's in his drink?
That song has been a popular song since around 1949.
44.
44 okay. And no one has ever brought that up in all those years.
And the inference is he's talking her into something that she doesn't want to do, but she really does want to do it. And that is where,
the problem is.
I'm saying no, but I really mean yes. Or is she really saying no and the guy's ignoring the no?
Well, here is the whole derivation of the song, because I did look this up. Now, the song was written in 1944. By the way, a coincidence, Mel Torme's Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, written the same year, 1944. But both war songs, oddly enough. But the song was written by a guy. His last name begins with an L. Not a very popular guy, but he wrote the song for he and his wife to sing at parties. So the song was not popular in 1944. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. But then the movie came along in 1949, which I think was Neptune something or another. And in Neptune, that's the version that everybody sees. And that's Ricardo Montalban singing it with Ethel...
Mertz?
The water. Esther Williams. It's Ricardo Montalban and Esther Williams singing it. And in the movie, they're not married. He's trying to coerce her. And, you know, Ricardo had like that swarthy Latin, you know...
always thought he was smarthy.
Swarthy.
Not
Smarthy.
Smarthy, too.
It's Smarthy, too. But that's the song won an Academy Award from the movie. And so that's the version people remembered when really, I bet the author of the song would want it banned because it was for married couples. But the movie turned it into something else.
Well, Boys to Men have done a much more recent song that basically says the same thing.
Yeah.
And I guess the First Amendment has its grounds.
Well, every verse in the song is, I really can't stay, and then, you know, he wants to keep her there.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Oh, me?
Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I think people are too uptight nowadays. People take everything out of proportion. I mean, it's been around since, 1944?
Yeah, but, you know, we had the discussion the other day on Satch's show, and I think it was an apt discussion. We won't carry it too deep here because we're on a minute amount of time. But the number one show on radio for years, and all the shows were well-preserved because it was the number one show, is Amos and Andy. But no radio station could air that now and get away with it. So context is important.
Not only that, but the people that were speaking were men.
Yes.
But I'd like to hear what Brandy thinks.
Please
about.
Do, as the female voice in the room.
Thanks, Glenn. Over to Brandy.
And she hates Christmas, so I'm sure she'd add.
No, this was the whole point of what I was doing on Facebook, was you can take anything from times gone past, and it doesn't even have to be the 1940s. It can be the 1990s or the early 2000s. You can take any piece of artwork, and that's what songs and movies are, and you can find things in it that aren't considered acceptable in our current society. Mm-hmm. And I was pointing those out and trying to be humorous about it in terms of the movies, just like with Santa, you know, my kids thinking he's a bully in the movie. It doesn't mean we don't love the movie. We still watch it, but it is important. If my kids hear this song, Baby It's Cold Outside, I have 3 girls and 1 boy. I don't want any of them to think that it is okay to pressure a date to stay, to have a drink, to put something in their drink, whether it's my son or my daughters. But that doesn't mean I don't think that they can't listen to the song. It just opens up a conversation for me as a parent to say, you know, that's a catchy tune, but let's talk about this other thing going on here and make sure that we're clear that in the real world, that's art, in the real world, this is not acceptable.
But now, if they took that lyric out about the drink, is the rest of the song okay?
Well, I mean, I think some people would still find fault with it, because I think there are a lot of women nowadays, and probably men too, who are very familiar with the, you know, you're trying to get out of a date or something and the other person is pressuring you to stay and you don't know what to do. And I think,
you know what
you
to
know,
do?
They would, yeah.
You cough.
I know what to do, but.
I don't know what that was, but last night, woo. And then nobody will come near you.
Well, and, you know, this is what I always tell my daughters, and I try to lead by example. I proposed to my husband, and I don't have any problem saying that. There are people who get uptight about it, but, you know, I think it's important for both men and women to know that you don't have to stay in any given situation, and you can take charge of your own part in it.
Uptight about what?
Oh, they do not like to hear that a woman proposed to a man.
Oh, I think that's fine.
Well, some people do, but I've had lots of people who get very angry about that.
One of the things we're not able to do anymore is be brave. I don't know why that is, but we're not brave anymore. We're afraid to offend somebody. Yeah. And in your case, saying to a date, no, I'm leaving. We're afraid to do that, and we need to learn how to do that.
Hey, Linda. Linda Sims has joined us now. So glad to see Linda, looking very festive. Yes. Well, but when this Baby It's Cold Outside thing, I think one thing we can't be anymore is simple. That's one of our problems. Do you notice when you have to, you've got to videotape it for YouTube, you got to be doing backflips. It's like when you announce the birth of a child now. You got to have somebody dropping out of a box with pink or blue.
Got to cause a forest fire.
Just think of that. It makes me tired, the whole thing.
But you know what gets me, though? What is causing all this confliction? I mean, back in your day.
Consternation.
Back in my day, there was no consternation. I've never thought Baby It's Cold Outside had anything to do with sex.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I mean, I don't think anyone else did until some young jerks.
Well, I don't think it is about. I don't think it is about sex. I think it's about trying to prevent somebody from leaving who wants to leave. I don't know that the song is about sex.
The song is about trying to get a girl to fall in love with you, I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you have to give somebody something in their drink to make them fall in love with you, that's a little...
Or anything. Why would you put anything in anyone's drink?
Now, you have to remember, too, when that song was written, we all did not have automobiles. She probably had to walk home.
Right.
There's a line in the song that says something about... There aren't any taxis out there. Sorry, you got to stay.
So he's lying. Well, it's funny because also at one point he points out, you know, she says my spinster aunt will get nervous if I'm not home. So she's really coming up with excuses here to get out of this guy's house. And he keeps, oh, no, she won't mind. You know, she's old and lonely anyway.
I mean, even in my generation, I don't think that song, I mean,
I never thought of it in any ill manner.
Yeah, I think you and I thought about it the same way. We thought about it
Like,
is it love?
He's in love with her, and he's just trying to get her to stay, give her a kiss. Yeah. A kiss.
But Brandy, Brandy says different. Right.
Well, nowadays.
I mean, I don't know. No, I mean, I don't know about the you know, motivation of whoever wrote the song. But what I'm saying is that I think for women, certainly women of my generation, it's an old trick. We know this, right? We've all been in the situation where we're trying to leave or get rid of some guy, and he just will not take a hint, and he just keeps coming back. And now that we're older, I'm not, you know, a teenager or in my 20s anymore. Now I know I can just get out of there and say take a hike. But we're all familiar with that situation, and we don't want that to be the fact that Charlie never thought of it that way. Well, Charlie, have you ever been in that situation where you've, you know, been trying to...
Now let's go back a few. Let's talk about Christmas memories.
You know, I think we understand, and we don't want that to be the norm.
This is not a Christmas story, but it's kind of in line with what we're saying. I just found out recently, because I even hate to get into this on Christmas, but I just found out recently that we still have one state... I knew this. But there is one state where... I'm going to say it. How do you say it in the Christmas way? having an escort, a paid escort, is legal, and that's Nevada. But here's the interesting thing. Do you know the one thing a paid escort won't do, even in Nevada?
Tell you they love you? Or?
Kiss you. Won't kiss you.
That was my second
They'll thought. Do everything else for the money, but kisses are not allowed because kisses are considered romantic and meaning more than everything else. I found that fascinating.
Hmm.
Well, Merry Christmas.
I find that so.
You know, we
kind of disgusting.
We fat shame poor Santa. I mean, why does Santa always have to be fat? And why do people make fun of fat?
He wasn't
Santa?
Fat until Coca-Cola came out with the advertisement. Right, yeah.
But we like old big jolly guys like Burl Ives. No, we like Burl Ives and Boss Hogg. I mean, we love anybody like that who's got a unique personality. The other thing I wanted to touch on quickly was the reindeer thing, because that is of the time. Santa, since we're talking about him, is not a bully. We've been through this two weeks.
Not again!
I know, you're wrong.
I am not wrong. Ask my husband.
Sean, do you think Santa Claus is a bully in the Rudolph, the red, same one they've been showing since Claymation?
I'm watching you, Sean.
Go ahead.
Not yet. I mean, I don't know how he's bullied, but I...
No, how does he... Glenn, do you think he's a bully?
Well, how else do you get, what is it, 8 animals to do what you want but crack a whip?
But only bully to Rudolph. They're saying he's bully to Rudolph. The other ones he's fine to, I guess.
I don't think we see much of his relationship with the others.
I don't think so either. Charlie, you've said you disagree.
I see. No, there's nothing in it. It's all a bunch of hooey.
4-1, Brandy. Go ahead. Your move.
Look, if there was a kid sitting here right now, and that's what Rudolph is in the beginning of the movie, he's a baby deer. He's a fawn. He's a child. Yes. And that kid had a big, blinking red nose. And you said, get that kid the heck out of here. You're not allowed to be on my team. Your nose is awful. You would be a bully. And that's what Santa does in that movie. He's a bully.
But he finds his
yeah,
true
redeeming
way.
Quality.
Yes,
yes. I mean, well,
yes,
then the song?
That's the plot of the movie.
We'll sing it later on. Where are the lyrics? Santa says, Rudolph with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Yeah, once he needs something from him.
Oh, wow. Just a bully.
This is a real downer Christmas show. That's all I can say.
You know, maybe
this is why Scott has me.
Maybe next hour we'll turn on the microphones and do the real show.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, this is all kind of hyperbolic, don't you think? I mean, it's all kind of amped up and hyperbolic and not really true. And I think the whole baby, it's cold outside, to be honest with you. Yes, I can see why the lyric's offensive, but I think the radio station did it for publicity, to be honest
exactly.
with you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so it's not a real...
Well, and now there's another radio station that played Baby, It's Cold Outside for 2 hours straight.
Oh, my.
Now,
oh.
Why? Why?
I like the song. Publicity gimmick.
Yeah.
publicity. Yeah,
exactly.
Gimmick.
It's all to get attention. I don't want Baby It's Cold Outside to be banned. I don't want Rudolph to be banned. I love watching Rudolph.
That's not one of the eight carols we're going to do. We're going to do Rudolph, but not Baby It's Cold Outside.
I just think people read in too much stuff now. I mean,
exactly.
And I think people would just, they want to find something wrong.
You know, I've been hearing that since I was a kid, though.
Yeah, but that, you know, it's always interesting. Really. No matter what generation you're a part of, one thing I always hear at Christmas isn't like it used to be. Well, you know what? There are people who are 90 who will say Christmas like, and the 80-year-old says, well, what? You know, it's always that way.
It's getting better.
It's Christmas, I think, is the best when you are a child because there's a mischievous glee and happy. Yeah.
Except I like Brandy, Christmas better now as an adult.
Except for Brandy here, Christmas was better when they were a child. So everybody always says, well, Christmas isn't like it used to be. Well, no, the older you get, it does change in meaning and in sentiment and time. I mean, before we, you know, get off this current events of the day and time, this whole thing, and we're going to talk about this more on Friday because I find it a fascinating subject.
Oh,
it's a new subject. You can think about it for 2 days. It's, you know, this fourth grade teacher who got fired for saying that Santa Claus was not real. She told the child in school that Santa Claus wasn't real, so they fired her.
But it wasn't just Santa Claus, right? She also hit the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy.
I don't know. Maybe she was off her medication that day and didn't realize what she was saying.
Why would she do that?
I thought we were supposed to teach true things in school. And that those are not true.
Well, Santa Claus will be here next hour.
Well, yeah, he's true.
You have to talk to him about
that.
He
is true. But the Easter Bunny, there's no way.
Well, maybe is it all about the Easter? It's not Santa Claus that is really driving this fireman, is it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Here's what I think, Charlie.
I'm sorry.
I was like, I'll come back to the English language. This room, you know, this every year it gets more difficult. But what I think is that Santa Claus, you shouldn't be going around knocking him, because now look what this woman got for Christmas, pink slip. You know, that's like coal in your stocking. You know, there's another song, Santa Knows If You've Been Good or Bad. Well, this lady was bad. Now she's on the unemployment line.
Every Christmas season, they come up with several things. People that steal ornaments out of the yard, and
you put ornaments in the yard?
Oh, I
like
don't.
Like those big inflatables. Yeah. And
oh, you know, here's something interesting. Last night, I was looking out of the back door, and I forgot it was Christmas time.
And scared the heck out of yourself.
I did. I saw this big thing waving back and forth outside. I thought, what the, you know, is that? And I walked over to the window, and my God, it was Frosty the Snowman, like 17 foot high. Just
well, that's the real Frosty.
That's the real Frosty. And then they let the air out of him, and it was like somebody dropped a parachute in the yard.
I hate
you know,
that.
My neighbor has a narwhal, a Christmas narwhal in the
what?
Yard.
Well,
what?
Hi, Jess, if you're out there, love
What's
you.
A narwhal?
It's the same thing she's got on her shirt, but it lives in the water.
Charlie, do you know what a narwhal is?
Oh, I used to have several.
Several of them?
Yes.
Yeah. You had one removed.
No, I sent him off.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know if they removed him or not.
What is a narwhal?
I don't know.
It's an ocean you know creature Glenn? With
it's,
a...
It's an elephant
it's a whale
with a tusk
with
on it.
A very long
I mean, a
tusk.
Whale, yes, with a tusk on it. Huh.
What kind of Christmases do you celebrate? Whales and unicorns?
It's not me, it's my neighbor.
My God.
I can't take responsibility for what my neighbor puts in their yard.
What kind of electrical cord is the narwhal wrapped in?
It has a little candy cane stripe horn.
And this is in somebody's yard?
And it's really
it's
not
out
of their mouth.
This is just like those darn gnomes put in their yard.
We used to have...
Oh, I love gnomes.
We used to own four donkeys.
Of course.
Four donkeys?
Yeah. And everyone, every church, well, not every church, but a lot of people wanted to borrow them.
For the Christmas nativity. Yeah.
The nativity.
And I got one from Galleon, from the Methodist church over there. They said, now, you can have our donkey, but... We get to get him back every Christmas. They got him originally for a Christmas display and found out it costs too much to keep him
the
rest of the year.
Donkeys are very pricey.
Do they still do that live one on, what, 90, was it Mount Vernon?
Yeah.
Yeah, the live nativity scene.
Yeah,
I don't know if they had one this year.
I don't think it's manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but I think close to the holiday. It's the Mount Vernon Church there. What denomination are they?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. That is one of my favorite Marian traditions. It's right. the live nativity and the live Easter tableau.
What I love is Midnight Mass that happens at St. Mary's Church. I think that is one. I mean, if you really want Christmas, if you don't have anything to do with gifts or anything else, if you walk into the church on Midnight Mass, St. Mary's here in Marin on Main Street, boy, that will fill you. The poinsettias and the big tree with all the white lights and the choir that's above you, and everybody comes out. Everybody comes out who's not in church all year round, and it's one service, and people have to line the aisles because there's not enough room, and everybody's wearing their new clothes. That's an experience. So I hope people, even if you're not of the Catholic religion, I think going to Midnight Mass one year is a very interesting experience. It's a Christmas thing. Christmassy.
My father always had a candlelight service at Christmas at midnight, and right before midnight we'd start singing Silent Night, even the German verse. And when you sang Silent Night, you raised the candle up in the air, and the whole sanctuary would glow from the lights, and I loved that. And then the fire marshal said we couldn't do it anymore.
Oh. The fire marshal, maybe he was...
This was down in Athens. It was not in Marion.
Maybe he was a Hanukkah person.
Well, I don't know.
But you guys did it for years, though, right?
Yeah. Years and years.
You know, I passed by the temple in Marion, and there's something radiating out of the back of the temple at night. I've passed it many times now. I don't know what is... I wonder if it's the Hanukkah lights.
Could be. The menorah?
Yeah. But it's the problem is you know, where you see the temple is right at the end of Mount Vernon Avenue. So you can't see the other side unless you're on that side street. And I've never driven over there, but now it's like a blue light that's radiating out of the big thing.
I live right across from it. On the way home tonight, I'm going to go check for it.
Check that out. See what that is out there. I think I would imagine it's a menorah, but maybe it's something different.
Blue?
Blue.
You don't have blue menorahs.
Well...
Have red and green, and
I have a blue narwhal.
My Jewish friends usually use the narwhal is
Let
mint green.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
not blue; it is mint green.
A narwhal?
The narwhal on my neighbor's lawn is mint green.
How many
not
narwhals?
Not a real narwhal.
What neighborhood do you live in? We'll just all go drive by there tonight to see the narwhal.
Come on down Cherry Street.
Sean, what kind of narwhals do you have?
I don't have any. I don't.
Really?
That's new to me. I didn't even know what they were.
When you were in the hospital, they got taken out a few years ago, didn't they?
I guess
so. I think they did. You had a couple narwhals and a little bit of other stuff. Now, coming up in hour number two, which we're fast approaching, I can't believe this Christmas special is blowing by. In hour number two, we've got so much to fit in here. Because we've got "Twas the Night Before Christmas," which Charlie Evers will read for the fifth time. We have the Leschetsky family, who are going to perform here live. We've got our 8 Christmas carols that we are going to sing together as a group. And this year should be really interesting because we have no piano accompaniment, so we're just going to try to fly them, Charlie. We'll all gather and do it. We'll check out what Patty Worcester, who's here, Linda Sims, who walked in. We'll check out their Christmas memories. So next hour is going to be filled. Santa Claus is on his way. We must not forget that. And again, this special tonight is supported by Domino's Pizza. Telephone number 740-383-3030, 518 East Center Street. Hope you're having a wonderful time. And we've got about we've got 3 more minutes here before we're going to do the break and then come back with all the festivities that'll go on. And we've got Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. Have you ever seen that movie? They did a movie out of that.
Yes.
Is that problematic?
I haven't seen it in a long time. I'd have to go back and
watch. People shouldn't write letters anymore?
I can find something. Don't you worry.
Virginia O'Hanlon probably shouldn't have been using the mail or something. I don't know.
I was listening to Charlie's repeat the other day, and you talked about, you know, people used to take a bus to look at all the Christmas
around town,
lights.
Around town, yes.
Well, I think we need to start that back up again.
Yeah, we had
we
the
have
bus.
That many Christmas lights around town, though?
There
Your
used
neighbor
to be.
Does. Your neighbor?
No, she has a narwhal, but
oh, that's
not
it?
A Christmas
Doesn't line
light.
Up. We could all go by the temple
it took
and
over
see what that light is.
Well, that bus tour took over an hour, and we also judged Christmas lights. And gave a big prize to the best decorated home in the
country. They are giving out a prize this year.
Are they?
Someone is.
Oh, really?
I don't remember who,
in
but yes,
Caledonia
I saw.
They are.
Oh, I thought I saw one here. Oh. Maybe I'm wrong.
You know what I just realized about this Virginia letter? They never give any credit to the guy who replied. You know, and the guy who replied, who worked for the...
Editor?
the New York Sun, the letter. And did you ever notice the letters written in September? The letter was written September 21st, 1897. So it wasn't even at Christmas time. And it's become one of it's become a play. It's become a movie. It's become something newspapers reprint. But it was written, Virginia O'Hanlon, 115 West 95th Street, New York, New York, wrote the letter to the newspaper. The New York Sun was the newspaper. On September 21st, 1897. That's when it was reprinted in the Sun. But they never say who replied. In the reply, all Virginia said was, I'm 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you don't see it in the Sun, it's so. So please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? And of course there is what the guy replies here in six or eight paragraphs. So, you know, why don't we have that anymore?
Oh, I think I'm wearing off on you. See, you've already found the problem for me.
No, I think people do write letters today. Don't you think this would happen again?
What?
Charlie, the letter.
Oh, the letter.
The letter from Virginia O'Hanlon.
Yeah. I was, all the time you were talking about Santa Claus and the teacher and so forth, how do you explain to a child the Santa Claus story?
I say he'll be here in about 40 minutes.
The wonderful thing about children is that you don't actually, especially when they're very young, you don't actually have to explain the
story.
They
find out, yeah.
They believe.
Yeah.
You
they
see
believe.
Him at the store, you see him on the street, you see him on the television.
And then their older brothers and sisters tell them the truth, yeah, and yeah. They're nine.
Well, and here's the, by the way, did you know? This is my favorite thing to let people know this holiday season. Did you know that Santa's most reliable forecast comes from the Channel 4 weather team in Columbus, Ohio?
Really?
Oh, yes.
Supposedly.
No, you got to watch this commercial. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
I forgot about
that. It's the Channel 4 weatherman, Dave Mazza, and he's standing next to Santa Claus, and he says, and Santa says, I get my weather from Channel 4 in Columbus. And I thought, you know, that's not nice. You know, you shouldn't do that. I bet, I don't know, Santa probably watches Channel 10 and 6 and 8 and all those others, don't you think?
Well, that's definitely.
Bordering on sacrilegious, isn't it?
Isn't that awful?
Now you're telling me he's bullying Rudolph. Now he's bullying all the other weather channels.
No, I think they paid. I think the Channel 4 slips Santa a bribe to get him in there. You know, he's not immune to dollar signs. Now,
it's a sign of the times.
Sign of the darn times, they change. Not in Virginia O'Hanlon's days, 1897, this wouldn't have happened. But now, everything's a mess. But next hour, we are going to have so much fun. As I've said, Sean, what's coming up next hour?
Well, we have Linda Sims.
Linda Sims is here.
We have Patty Rooster.
Absolutely.
And Ted Williams.
Ted Williams is here.
So we have a lot of stuff going on. And we're also going to be singing songs.
The Leszczewskis, and we as a group will sing.
Yes.
Charlie will read Twas the Night Before Christmas. We are going to read Virginia's letter. So we got the second hour is crammed full of Christmas fun. Take 10 minutes, fill up the eggnog, and throw the fruitcake out the window, and we will be back. Don't go anywhere.
Excellent. Right here on WWGH Radio 107.1